Smart Talk is produced by WITF as part of our mission to deliver relevant, high-quality programming. Support comes from Capital Blue Cross, which shares WITF's commitment to being a trusted resource in our communities. Smart Talk is also supported by UPMC, dedicated to pursuing and pioneering treatments that will one day be the standard worldwide. For more information, visit upmc.com/happeningtoday.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. We are on a Smart Talk road trip today, broadcasting from the Englewood. Our focus today will be restaurants and how they are recovering from the COVID-19 pandemic. Just to set this up, you know, recovery is never a good word to use when describing an industry, but that's what the restaurant and service industries are doing overall. The past 2 years of the pandemic have been devastating for some restaurants, some that closed altogether. But recovery has occurred in stages for others. During the first year of the pandemic in 2020, most restaurants were open for takeout only at first and then limited the number of customers who could dine indoors. As more restrictions were lifted last year, restaurants made a comeback, generating an estimated $789 billion in 2021. That's $100 billion more than the year before. However, restaurants still have not reached 2019 pre-pandemic income levels. The industry continues to face challenges like finding enough workers to fully staff a restaurant. They've also undergone some changes, some that are permanent. Joining us for this segment of the program is John Longstreet, President and CEO of the Pennsylvania Restaurant and Lodging Association. Mr. Longstreet, welcome to the program.
Scott, it's good to be with you. Thank you for having me.
All right, so here's the broad question. How would you characterize the last 2 years?
Like nothing I've seen. I've been in the business for 45 years, and no one could have ever predicted anything like this would ever happen. There's certainly nobody alive that's seen what we went through, so, and particularly in our industry, where we were certainly among the hardest hit of all industries, both by the pandemic and the resulting mitigation.
Mm-hmm. You know, the one word I keep hearing in relationship to restaurants, I guess you could say it about a lot of industries, but so many restaurant owners and venue owners have said this, and that word is uncertainty. That is not a good word when you're thinking about the future.
Well, when you mentioned staffing has been the number one issue since we began to recover, which was really when mitigation ended, at least in Pennsylvania last June. And a lot of the reason why we can't staff up is the uncertainty that our employees feel. They left the industry when we were shut down three times in Pennsylvania, and they were afraid to come back because we might get shut down again. We know that's not going to happen now, but still we're really working to try to convince everyone that the industry's back.
When you say we know it's not going to happen now, how do you know that?
I know that because from Governor Wolf, several times in the last, since December 14th, he's reiterated vaccines, not mandates, not mitigation are the answer. I was fortunate enough to have a sit down with him on the 15th of December, and he reiterated the same thing again. We have them in Philadelphia. I don't think we're going to see them anywhere else in the state. And part of the reason, too, Scott, is that we know a lot more 2 years later than we did when they started. Everyone was trying to do their best to stop the virus and to keep people alive, including Governor Wolf and the decisions that were made. But we were all shooting in the dark. Now we know from all the results around the country that the most heavily mitigated states, as far as restaurants go, had no better effect on reducing COVID as those that were the most lightly mitigated. That's very clear.
Let's go back to 2020 when the pandemic first hit in about March of 2020. How did restaurants adapt? And I mentioned in the introduction about how it went in stages. What did restaurants in Pennsylvania do?
Well, one in three people got their first job in a restaurant. So anybody that's worked in a restaurant knows that it's hard work. They were among the hardest working people out there, and they're the most resilient. And I think that's probably the number one reason so many made it through. The first thing they did is they figured out we've got to find a way to do some business. So they developed takeout programs. They developed delivery programs. Mm-hmm. Restaurants that had never done it before are now still doing it, even with their dining rooms open, maybe 30% of their business. So that was part of it. The other is that we worked hard, first, to try to get aid for laid off employees, second, to try to get recovery programs for restaurants so that they could have some funding so that when the employees were ready to come back to work, there were jobs. We originally estimated 50% of the restaurants were going to close. it looks like now, because some of the programs that were put together, both federal relief and state relief, it might be as low as 15 or 20% in Pennsylvania. Still a lot, 3,000 restaurants.
3,000 restaurants in Pennsylvania that closed. Yeah, that is such a shame. And for those families or those business owners, those communities to have lost those businesses. So are finding enough workers, is that the big challenge now? I mean, I know there are other challenges, and we'll talk about them. But why do you think restaurants in particular are having such a difficult time attracting workers?
Yeah. Well, there's really probably three reasons. The first one I described, people left the industry when we were closed and they found other things that they could do. The second is that a large portion of our population are two working families, and they are having difficulty getting child care, and they have to have a place for their kids, or they're having difficulty because their schools are closed. So they have to stay home. One of the two have to stay home. It's often the one that would work in restaurants. And third, and this came out in the pandemic, is that restaurants are great places to work, but the number one thing that the employees are telling us now is that they want better health care packages. Mm-hmm. It's hard to provide affordable health care when you have less than 100 employees, particularly in Pennsylvania, because of some of the restrictions on insurance programs. And because of that, restaurants typically didn't always provide health care. When I was in the restaurant business, my employees said, I don't really care, I'm bulletproof. After the pandemic, they're not saying that anymore. They're saying, we need health care. So we're trying to develop packages to help restaurants in order to attract more people. And the other is, and I'm sure you know this, the working age population is growing at by far the smallest level in the last 120 years. So there's just not as many people working. And let me say one other thing. When we came out of this in June of last year, and we really were coming out of it, we went to our restaurants around the state, and we said, we're going to invest some money to encourage guests to come back out. They said, we don't need guests. We have plenty of guests. We need employees. And actually, at the end of the summer last year, across the state and the country, restaurants had exceeded their numbers for pre-pandemic. So you're right. It did come back, not for the full year, but by the end of that. But unfortunately, the Omicron has us back down again in a big way. It's been a huge impact on restaurants.
Okay, so to talk about that a little more specifically, what do you mean in a big way Omicron has had an impact?
Well, the first thing was it was staffing. We were already short-staffed, and now we have four employees out with Omicron. Thankfully, they're not really sick, real sick, like they might have been.
Right.
It's not serious, but they still have to stay out. They come back, four more go out. But then what happened right after that is we also saw customer counts dropping, partially because customers are out because they're sick,
right,
and the other because they may be a little bit more careful than they were in September, October, November of last year before the Omicron hit. We recently did a study in Pennsylvania, and in fact, it just came out. It's for January numbers, and 93% of the restaurants say they've seen a decline in business since Omicron. Now, January is always a slower month in restaurants, but even over and above that, they've seen a decline. And 76% have seen a decline in 21 over 19. So in 21, there was still a decline, but we had a peak in the summer, as I said. And this is the other side of it. 87% of them are running higher costs now. That's not surprising. If you go to the grocery stores, you understand why restaurants are running higher costs, too.
I noticed, though, now, you know, you could count health benefits as part of a package that someone has paid. But I noticed you didn't mention pay, that, you know, there's a lot of speculation, and there were a lot of people who worked in the industry who said that I need to make more money.
Well, interestingly, in the survey, and the survey I'm talking about was done by a TV station in Philadelphia, and they it was a news media. I think it was Inquirer did it. Pay was third or fourth on the list of concerns.
I saw that survey. Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's partially because the free market system has caused wages to increase more rapidly now than any time again in my lifetime. And I've talked to some people that are even older than I am, if you can imagine that, or in the business, and they said the same thing. We've never seen wages rise so quickly. So consequently, the free market rose the wages to the point where that's not the number one concern.
Something else that, and this was something that we heard even before the pandemic, but there were servers, for example, who said, particularly women, who said that harassment was an issue for not returning to the industry. Now, I don't know whether that means from customers, whether that means from people who own the rep. Most of the time, I assume it's customers. But what about that issue?
Well, I think that our industry has often been pegged for that. I've been, again, in and out of the business, but in it mostly for 45 years. And I think it's a great industry to work in. By the way, 80% of restaurants are owned by people that started in line-level positions. Mm-hmm. So they must have thought it was pretty good, too, to go into ownership. And one in three people start in restaurants, as I say. There's no question we have to focus on great place to work. And I won't, and I certainly can't say every restaurant is a great place to work, but they need to be. And the first part of that comes with a culture of respect. And I will tell you that as I travel the state and talk to restaurants that are really struggling in staffing and those that aren't struggling quite as much, I know the ones that aren't struggling quite as much, and they started with a great place to work culture. So they're doing a better job in keeping people that way. We absolutely promote that and think that that's an important thing to face. I will say that something new I've never experienced in my life in this business is the abuse that servers are often taking from customers.
I've heard a lot of stories.
And it's really sad to see that. And my counterpart in Rhode Island started a Be Kind campaign, and she has billboards all over the state because it had gotten so bad with customers abusing servers or bartenders or hostesses, and often because they're trying to enforce mandates that are that are handed to them from the government.
I've been at several restaurants where the food has taken a little longer to get out. You talk to your server, and you can tell they're apologetic. There's nothing you can do about it. But you know, what the conversation we've had at our table is, we have to remember, things aren't like they were before. Most of these businesses don't have the staff in the kitchen or out front. So, you know, customers have to remember that. There have been some changes that have occurred, and from what I understand, the public likes a lot of these changes. I saw 87% like the idea of being able to eat outdoors. Mm-hmm. There's more technology that restaurants have implemented. QR codes, for example. Now, at first, I have to admit that at my age, I was a little bit, you know, but now I'm kind of used to it. These things appear to be here permanently and appear to be good things.
Mm-hmm. What will come out of the pandemic is that restaurants have had to make some changes, and they're going to stick with a lot of them. And one of that I've already mentioned is they've developed a robust to-go business.
Right.
And the marketplace wants that, and now they're doing a really good job of it. They've made their food so it travels well with good packaging. That's going to stick around. There's no question that technology improvements are going to be there because they're going to need that to supplement the short staffing that they have so that you can do some of the work on your own with a tabletop kiosk in a restaurant, as you've suggested. The outdoor dining doesn't surprise me at all. I worked in a restaurant chain in Pennsylvania that started outdoor dining in 1974, and everyone else thought they were crazy. And now that people in Pennsylvania everywhere can find out it's fun to eat outside, mm-hmm. I think this is a trend that will stay. And it gives you expanded seating. It's a better experience. A lot of other things that go with it. So those are some of the good things that will come out of this pandemic.
Will we ever return to, you know, it's funny that so many people describe it as return to normal. I'll describe it as pre-pandemic. Will restaurants ever return to that, or has life changed forever?
We recently asked that on a question in a national survey, and I think it was 40% of the respondents said we will never return to what we were before. We'll never return to normal. Will it be in a year? Will it be 2 years? Or will it be never? About 40% said never. So it's not going to be like it was before, but if I can do a quick analogy, I was in the hotel business when the tragedy of September 11, 2001 hit. And that affected hotel business dramatically. As you may remember, we weren't traveling for three, 4 months after that. And hotels made some dramatic changes to survive. And they're all still in place today. We don't even remember that it didn't used to be that way. So the same thing's going to happen in the restaurant business. They're going to find new efficiencies. You're going to find more streamlined menus. The average casual dining restaurant had about 100 entrees on their menu, which is hard to believe. You're going to find they're going to be more like 60 or 70, and you're going to be fine with it because they're going to focus on the things that they specialize in, that they're really good at, and it will help get the food out quicker, as your comment earlier. So those are some of the things that are going to be happening. There's definitely going to be less servers that are going to be enhanced with some tabletop electronics.
John Longstreet is the president and CEO of the Pennsylvania Restaurant and Lodging Association. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Great to be here, Scott. Thank you.
What a kind of change topics a little bit right now. The pandemic hit existing restaurants hard, but what about those that opened or reopened during the last 2 years? The Englewood was one that did just that. Bill DeVinny is the chief operating officer of the Englewood. Mr. DeVinny, welcome to the program.
Good to be here. Welcome.
Also joining us is Andre Young, owner of the Soul House Cafe. The Soul House Cafe in Harrisburg was already in business during the pandemic, but had a grand reopening in December 2020 at the height of the pandemic. Andre Young, thank you very much for being with us today, too.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
All right. So, Bill, let me start with you, and I'll get this logistics out of the way right off the bat. We're within sight of the Milton S. Hershey Medical Center, but you have a Hummelstown address.
Correct.
Right. Okay. Just wanted to make sure. You can see it from Route 322. Gorgeous location. Congratulations on the business. Just absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you.
So you opened in July of 2020.
Correct.
Good timing.
Oh, perfect.
No, but from what I understand, the original plan was to open in March 2020.
Right.
Tell me about that.
Well, it's tough enough to open up a new restaurant. There's deadlines. You're just trying to generate revenue. So you have this target all set to open up in March, and then you can't. Well, you could if you had carryout only.
Yeah.
But that wasn't going to be the case there. There's so many moving parts, and that just wasn't going to cut it. So finished everything up, and then finally set a date in July.
So that must have been a very difficult decision to make. I mean, from what I understand, when you had planned to open in March is the week that everything kind of shut down, right?
Right there.
Yeah. And for those who have not been here, but we hope that will visit in the future, the Englewood is not just a restaurant. I mean, this is an entertainment venue. Is it first or second or restaurant entertainment venue?
Oh, we try to keep it all the same.
Okay.
There's a brewery here, too.
Right, right, right.
So it's brewery, restaurant, great venue.
But it wasn't made for just takeout at the time?
Not at all.
Okay. So when you did open in July of 2020, what did you have to change?
Staffing levels. It seemed that you could go, you know, it was 50% one week, and then it was 10% in this room, and then it was 25% in the dining room. We did have outdoor seating. But still 25%, and then it would change to 50. So just trying to keep tabs of our staff level, both front of the house and back of the house, that was a challenge.
Now, had you hired an entire staff for that March opening?
Yes.
What happened to those people that were hired for March, but you had to wait until 4 months later?
We just said, sorry, we're not opening, and you know, we'll see you when we can in a couple months.
How many did you lose?
I couldn't even guess. Maybe 3/4.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you fully staffed now?
Pretty close.
Pretty close.
It's like the industry.
What do you call fully staffed?
We've had to adjust, like you were saying earlier. We had to adjust some menu items too. You know, if it's a five cook or a five station menu, we'd have to cut it down to four. So it's being adaptable and being creative. To answer your question, if we had five servers in the dining room downstairs, we'll have four. So it's pretty much the entire building front to back.
What about customers? Did they come back? When I say come back, I mean, obviously, they're coming to a new business in July of 2020. But what did you see in July of 2020? What did you see now?
When we opened, it was great. We had the outdoor space. It's a beautiful space, as you were mentioning.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Just with all the changes and being new, you know, it's great to be in that honeymoon phase. Now we have this identity that we want people to know about. Now that we can have shows and put, you know, a couple hundred people in here, that also helps. So it revolves around marketing and word of mouth and taking care of our guests and the culture that you mentioned earlier. So it all kind of comes together and really building the business.
Mm-hmm. Andre Young, as I mentioned, the Soul House Cafe had been in business before, but you had a grand reopening in December 2020.
That's great.
You know, I think I described it earlier as the height of the pandemic, but mm-hmm. The height of one of the surges. Bill had a height of one surge. You had a height of another surge. So did you have any qualms about maybe waiting on the grand reopening until maybe the COVID pandemic was over?
Honestly, Scott, it forced our hand. We had a restaurant, a small takeout restaurant, doing quite good volume. And the pandemic hit. We had a lobby that was literally about 7 by 9. Mm-hmm. So it was just a little small area. You just came in and grabbed your food for takeout and left. But we were doing some pretty good business. Now, when the pandemic hit, we seen numbers we had never seen before because everyone gravitated to takeout. But we, with the winter months approaching, I didn't foresee us being able to get through that ensuring social distance for our customers. So we had to get a larger location with a dining area, which actually turned into a waiting area for takeout. So we closed down for the month of November, reopened December 3rd with a larger restaurant made for dine-in, but it turned into a waiting area for takeout because we wouldn't have survived with that small little takeout area.
You have a large menu.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Did you make any tweaks to that menu during the pandemic?
No, we didn't make any tweaks. It's a soul food restaurant, so everything is cooked from scratch. That's what our mission and our whole business was built on. We're the mom and pop restaurant, so I speak for them. A lot of heart and soul that goes into that food. And so without slighting ingredients, without slighting our customers, we offer a nutritious meal at an affordable price. That's what our mission was built on and our foundation of our restaurant was built on. So we didn't want to scale back that. Now, the challenging part of rising food costs at the same time as rising labor, now that presents a whole nother level of challenge for the average mom and pop restaurant. When you spoke of 3,000 restaurants shutting down, I don't even have to look at those numbers, but I guarantee you it's most of them are from your mom and pop restaurants. Understand, we don't have the ability to convert to a kiosk where people come in and just punch in their order, nor do we want to. Okay, we were built on that one-on-one with our customers, that service, that, you know, hi Bob, you know, when they walk in the door, knowing what people want to order, you know. So that's what we're built on. We never want to slight that.
You anticipated where I was going next, mm-hmm. and that was the rise in the cost of food.
Right.
I mean, I just saw a story, and I know this because I eat a lot of chicken wings.
Mm-hmm.
Wings. Mm-hmm. Wings, the price of wings,
right.
There's been a shortage of wings. That's on your menu.
Absolutely.
And I just use that as an example, but the cost of food, how have you overcome that?
We haven't as yet. To another point there, Scott, with, you know, chicken wings, like you brought up that example, we were doing 60-70% of our sales was in chicken wings.
Really?
So they pretty much doubled in cost due to a lot of, you know, different variables I don't want to get into. We don't have enough in this segment. But
we can do a whole show on wings.
Yeah, it really is. It's a nightmare. And not to mention the Super Bowl approaching.
That's
so
right.
It's a whole other challenge, but we won't get in that. But with rising, and they're fried. So the cost of oil has doubled. You know, where we were spending, restaurateurs were spending $18, $19 for a jug of oil. Now we're spending $40. So, you know, when you combine the rising food costs at the same time as rising labor, we're almost forced to double our menu price. You know what I mean? And to do that when the economy is going as low in the direction it's going, it presents a huge challenge, which I'll give you an exclusive, Scott. We're going to be closing our doors at the end of April, and we're going to be gravitating to prepackaged meals.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Uh-huh. So it's... challenging to say the least.
So I imagine labor has been an issue too?
Labor has been a huge issue because not that we don't want to pay our employees, but if you're doing everything right in this business, you're doing about, in the restaurant, you've been doing about 15% profit margin. So, you know, like I said, we'd have to double our prices in order to be able to afford, you know, the rising labor costs and be able to afford. And we understand people they're given other jobs, they're out there paying much, much more, and we wish we could.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it's you know, we can't double our prices and, you know, without losing our customer base. So it's a conundrum that we're faced with, and so many other restaurateurs are.
I only have about 90 seconds left. Mm-hmm. Real quick, Andre, soul food restaurant, What's your specialty other than that 60-70% wings?
Oh, our sides. You come down to get a good Thanksgiving meal with collard greens, yams, potato salad, tuna mac, dirty rice. I mean, you're gonna get, it's gonna taste like that love that your mama put in on Thanksgiving Day. That's what we were built on. We're gonna still give you that with the prepackaged meals.
So, Bill, we only have about 90 seconds left. I want to thank you very much for having us here today. So, what do you see the future for the industry for the Englewood?
I think we've overcome so many issues already, and I think we have a model that will work. A little bit of technology that you were mentioning will help put us in the right direction and just make things easier to turn tables and looking forward to that outdoor space opening up and try to utilize that a little bit more for this coming season.
Well, you have a lot of outdoor space. I mean, that's something. I mean, on two different levels,
right,
here at the restaurant. So, for all those people who do enjoy eating outdoors, they certainly will have the opportunity. I want to thank all three of you for being with us today, and I think we've got a good sense of where the industry is heading, what you've been through so far, and hopefully brighter days ahead. Thank you very much. I'm Scott Lamar. We're broadcasting live from the Englewood, right along Route 322. Actually, it is Research Boulevard. You can see it from Route 322. It has an almost sound address. I encourage you to go to their website and you can get more information about some of the music, some of the shows that they have scheduled, but to get a great meal here as well. I'm Scott Lamar. Have yourself a great day.